Network. I'm Justin Hornor, joined by the Triple OG, Tyson Nwidimu, Mason. a lot happening. A lot that you got started over the weekend, which we'll get to. We'll have a little bit of a chat about it. It's a bit of a giggle. I got a call coming through here. But I just want to give a bit of a wrap up for the Sydney Marathon.
Yes, give us
straight off the bat.
Tell the people.
Everyone who's been following us and following the journey over the last, almost 10 weeks. We've been talking about it.
Yep.
I just firstly want to say congrats to everyone who competed on the weekend, and thank you to everyone for the support. It was tough out there, mate. The conditions were really hot. It was a crazy experience straight off the bat. I don't know how to explain it. Like,
is it the hardest thing you've ever done?
It should have been. So a couple of I've learned a lot of lessons from doing this.
Yep.
A couple of lessons that you'll take. Not only I think, you know, me and Louis Brown did it together with Jamie Bura. Shout out to Jimmy. Did it in 4 hours and 5 minutes.
Holy shit.
Louis Brown did it in 4 hours and 35, and I did it in 5 hours and 5 minutes. So a big gap difference. At the same point, we were all together at the 21K mark, put it that way. So that's how, depending on maybe preparation, experience, because Jimmy had done it the year before. Jimmy got 4 hours and 30 the year before, and this time he got 4 hours and 5 minutes. So he sort of knew, you know, where he's traveling. We're running over the bridge together. We're running for long periods. And
good energy when you were about there at the start, like everyone's sort of pumped. And then when did it start getting like, fuck, this is real.
So,
this is real.
So my hip started to – I had problems with my hip leading into it, which again –
About 6 weeks ago, people. 6 weeks ago he had a bit of a hip problem, and it's hard to back out, isn't it?
But that comes down to preparation too, which I'll get to. So one of the things that I've learned from it is you can't prepare for a marathon, especially 42, and you want to have a proper crack 3/4 of the way through. So I was pretty good. Like, preparation was pretty good. Stayed consistent with my runs, learn a few lessons with my load, the deload, which I'll take into the next run. And a big thing's weight. Like, I can't be over 100 kilos. So organically I lost weight during it. Like, I would have been about 110 kilos before I started training for it. I think I got down to about 102. In the deloading, because I wasn't running as many Ks, I sort of was eating a lot more when I was, continually going up. And then obviously those calories, I think my diet stayed the same. So I've learned a lesson now that with regards to my diet, so I would have put on about another 2 or 3 kilograms in the last 3 weeks on the deloading weeks, because
I was still
eating the same. Yeah. So my goal next, and I will be doing another
one. You get 98 kilo would be perfect for you?
Yeah, maybe. get down to below 100 kilos. That'll be a big part of it. I also know, sort of – they talk about, you know, when you're in a marathon. So I got to about 18 Ks and my hip was, you know, started to get really sore. Felt like it just
What sort of pain? You know, I mean, like, everyone's got, you know, every ex-NRL player's got hip problems. Yeah. Like, what was it? Was it a real dull feeling? Was it sciatic? Was it like, was it
just
fucking
a sharp stabbing pain on side of my hip? And then it was like, it ended up going around all the way to my lower back, and I got to about the 25K.
And that's 25K in. You felt like that?
25K where for those who ran in it, I was going through Centennial Park, just started Centennial Park, and I was like, fuck, that's it. Like, I just started walking. And,
demons.
Heavy demons, and I was like, man, I've got 17K to go. And I was on target, so I was doing it pretty well. I was running at about 30-kilometer clips. For a kilometre. So about – I was on pace for like under – I would have been if I'd
– Kept that same pace.
If you keep that pace, you've got to take into account the longer you go, the slower you're going to get by the end of it. So I was under 6 minute Ks, put it that way.
What, the first 20?
For the first 25 kilometres.
It's flying.
And then I just hit the wall, mate. I just hit the marathon wall. I need to work on my consistency with my mobility too, because
ELAB. More ELAB, man.
Next time
we'll do it. You got to do 3 ELAB sessions a week.
Yeah, I don't know about 3, but at least like I need to do my, because you got to keep the running going
and
right?
The strength,
the big running. So I need to do. I focus purely on running and not around like the holistic movements of my body, because realistically, all that is, all my hip is a weight, I needed to lose more weight, so I needed to be lighter. And I just I didn't have the mobility in
core
in my
mobility.
The stiffness started from running down the hill. So that's me just like hitting the deck and being heavy footed. So if my mobility's better, then
because you know the ELAB sessions are perfect for you.
Yeah, of course. Yeah, yeah.
Like so whatever you're doing, if you run 3 times a week and you do 2 ELAB sessions. Yeah, that's you'd kill that because it's all about mobility and flexibility and core strength and everything like that, and a little bit of strength as well. So it's a perfect mix to you towards when you're running that and that. But you went a heap of running and about that much mobility.
Yeah,
if you can get like that, you'll murder it, Hoz. I'm not even fazed.
I just went I went too far, not too far, but I definitely need to get more K's in my legs as well. So it's just finding that balance. Yeah. All of it comes back down to nutrition, preparation. But now in my head, I've got a realistic goal. So
So it didn't scare you off. You want to do it again?
Oh, no, the competitive.
Because you're a fucking asshole like that, aren't you?
Well, yeah.
Because you want to get under 5 hours.
Oh, if 5 hours, realistically, if you're not injured, you're going to get I know I was going to get under 5.
4:30, I reckon.
But 4:30 is a good target. Mm. And it's just that competitive side of like,
it's good.
It was in a way it was quite a benefit because heaps of people hit the deck. There was I think maybe 25 people hospitalised. 7 were in a bad way. Jeez. Going in. This is the day after that was reported.
Full body cramps, convulsions, all that sort of stuff. Hey, it's
but because,
terrible.
Because I had to stop and walk, I never really got that. Like I was doing it. Like my heart rate would have been up at 25K for sure. But it was my body that went first before. My hip, an injury that.
Do you think if you had to keep pushing it, you would have been?
Yeah, could have.
Yeah,
for sure.
You would have been
for sure.
You would have taken your body to that level where it's like, fuck, I'm. You know.
Yeah, because the competitive side of me probably still would have tried to go if it wasn't for my hip bringing me back. So I don't know. In a way, you could kind of look at it as being like a blessing in disguise. But such a cool experience. Congrats to so many people that finished. I think they had. You know, record 18,000 people there.
Damn.
All different shapes and sizes, ages. You know, I had, you know, when I'm walking that last 5K, I got old men like 60.
Because they're vets, mate.
Vets.
This is experience. You know what I mean? Like, yeah. So this will be probably the best thing you've done.
Yeah.
And then I reckon you'll do a marathon probably once a year.
Yeah.
And you'll end up nailing it.
Me and Russ Packer, I messaged Russ Packer a fair bit.
Rusty Packer?
Talk about,
Big Rusty, good man.
He's grouse and he's
Is he doing marathons?
No, but we were talking about it. So I'm going to listen to this podcast. It's How to Transform Your Life at Any Moment. The Alcoholic Lawyer That Becomes. So it's from the CEO with Stephen Bartlett on Spotify.
Okay.
He says, I read this thing, marathons are done at the end of a decade when you're 29, 39 or 49, I'm 37, right?
Mm-hmm.
It might have to do with 5 years, plenty of time to train. But basically, we're wired for extremes. Some of us are just wired this way. We seek peak experience. We push boundaries. We are competitive with ourselves and others around us. We often don't know when to stop. Why not stop at 93 kilometers instead of running to 100 kilometers? What is enough? It is a constant battle. There will always be extremes. Polarities, understand yourself and try limit the damage. Balanced living, for those of us wired like this, is impossible. We go down rabbit holes, but be mindful to come back up and return. This is what stops damaged lives. Come back to center. Don't aim for balance and aim for return to center.
Beautiful.
So it's all
that's
about.
That's where you're at now?
Yeah, I think so.
Fucking oath you are.
That's why you do things like
that. Bro, it's unreal what you're doing, man. You should be very proud of yourself.
So
the same as Lukey too. Shout out to Lukey, 21K.
100%. And that was my next one.
He was in the wars fucking 12 weeks ago.
About 12 weeks ago for people that you know haven't been listening. Lukey got pretty sick. He had a few health problems. He went, all right, sweet. I'm off the piss. He's been off the piss ever since. And he just started training and started running. So within the space of 12 weeks, I think he ran 1.5 kilometers, was it, Lukey? Or kilometer, 1.5. He sent us a video. He was...
Done.
Rat shit. That was like 10 weeks ago. He ran the half and ran 21. So well done to Lukey. And also our friends in the podcast industry as well. The Lukey of Hello Sports, Tobler.
Did Tobler beat you?
Tobler got us. Tobler, but he was having a...
Toblerone.
He was having a battle with Tom and Eddie, their marathon.
Tell me you beat Tom and Eddie.
He got Tom. I don't think he got Eddie because Eddie ran a pretty good time, but he beat Tom and that was what their bet was.
Yeah, okay.
Tobler comes, as I'm hobbling down the last, I reckon, 600, 700 metres, all I hear is this noise. I turn around, I can just hear Tom and Eddie chirping. And then you just see Tobler in the middle and I go, fuck. So I'm like, I look down because there's a 1 kilometre banners all the way through. And then when you're coming down the final strip down Macquarie Street towards Opera House, it's got like 500 metres, 600 metres. So I see the boys, I can hear the boys. I'm like, fuck this, I'm going to go join in with Tobler just to be a part of this moment. And then we get there and Tom and Eddie and like Tobler turns around, but he's a little bit delirious because he hasn't stopped. Like he's just ran this nice, consistent pace the whole way. Yeah, and Tobler's a big boy too before he started. So I reckon he would have lost about 10 or 15 kilos. So again, it's like I'm hurting, but it gave me lift. So I'm like, fuck this, I'm going to try to finish with Tobler. So I started like hobbling after the boys. Tobler gets – so Tom and Eddie go, fuck, Tobbs, you got 400 metres to go. He took off. He just started sprinting like he went that fast. I couldn't keep up with him. My hip was fucked. So they just took off and I could like hear this noise and you could hear this energy and Tom and Eddie were behind him screaming. So, mate, it's unreal. It's such a cool experience. There's like – disappointment that I wasn't able to continue to run, but then what trumps it is the fact that it's such a big thing to tick off, and I know now going into the next one.
But you can't help when your body breaks down, mate. It's not like
you can.
I know that, but I'm just saying you couldn't help it. Like, yeah, your body broke down, so it's not like you can't run fast when your body gives up. That's it.
Yeah, but being accountable and knowing why it broke down.
Yes, you know. So next week, next year, you'll be all right.
Yeah, for sure. So what we're going to do is with the Strava group as well, me and Louis really enjoyed the process, the community. So with that Levels Network Strava group that we're going to be doing, we're going to be doing runs every weekend. So we'll finalise the details and I'll have it ready for you on Thursday for the preview show. But we just really enjoy the community and the preparation that goes into it. So we're going to continue running. Me and Louis are definitely going to do another marathon. And we're going to look at just doing community run clubs on the weekend. So ideally I'm going to have a chat to Louis, but I think
– how far are these runs?
5K.
Ooh, I might join in.
Yeah, 5K.
5K is enough.
Yeah, 5K. So we're also going to hit up because Jimmy Bura did it with us, the RLPA, if there's any – X or even, you know, in the off season there might be some current players that want to come down and just get after it a little bit. But it's more of a community thing. It's not like you're not training for a marathon, but it's just to keep a nice little base.
Make it scenic. Why don't we just run from, I don't know, Malabar to Bondi on that road, on that beautiful, like, nice little coastal ride?
Yeah, there's
coastal run. I mean, it depends how many there are.
With Centennial Park, a couple of reasons. So Centennial Park, really good.
Yeah, I know. Nice. I've done fucking billions of laps around there. It sucks.
Yeah, but it's a good meeting spot and for families and shit too.
I know.
Cafes right there. There's playgrounds, all that stuff around there. So
it's trauma for me.
It'll move around for sure at times, but we're going to set up the base there and run around. You've got different loots that you can do, so you don't just we never just do lap on lap.
It's a beautiful park.
We could cut through and do all different routes. So
that would be ideal because it just brings back awful memories.
Yeah.
We used to fucking run. What is it? Ride 10, run 1. Ride 10, run 1. Ride 10, run 1.
Yeah.
Fucking awful.
Yeah. Those Rooster days or Bulldogs days.
Bulldogs days.
Yeah.
Nigel Vungener.
The gun or no good.
The OG was one of the worst I've ever seen. He goes, you know what? He goes, you don't ride bikes scoring tries. And you don't fucking swim to score a try either.
Yeah.
Because folks, he was massively into triathlons, right? So we did a heap of that, a lot of running, obviously a heap of triathlons. Nigel was the worst swimmer I've ever seen and one of the worst fucking bike riders.
A lot of
the
poly boys
and
can't swim,
didn't
mate.
Like long distance. Give him the fuck, but give him the ball, bro. Best center. At the Bulldogs, best center in the world for 3 years.
Yeah.
And so we sort of just went, yeah, whatever. But one time so everyone finished that, the Centennial Park one.
Yep.
He was 45 minutes
for
last.
One lap.
So, no. Like, so we've all finished, and 45 minutes later, he finishes.
That was me. That was me.
Bro, I don't understand. And you know what? And not giving a fuck either.
Yeah.
He's like, all right. But he was the best center in the fucking world. But he just knew. He knew his strengths. But you give him the ball, when it comes to football, you give him the ball, you run lines, all that. Never seen anyone sharper. Never dropped the ball. Never missing an assignment. Talks unreal. Was the best center. One of the best centers I've ever played with, mate.
It's crazy how some people didn't necessarily have.
They didn't need that shit, man.
Training, conditioning, were really good trainers, but it didn't translate to the field. Like they'd gas out quickly on the on the footy field.
But we do post Malcolms and all that kind of stuff. Fine, because it's short, sharp.
Okay.
You know what I mean? But like, if it comes, to fucking like riding 40, 50 kilometres on a bike, bro, it's awful.
Different sort of fitness.
It's different, you know what I mean? Like, and he understood that, but he was, bro, when it comes to football and when it comes to football training, give a football, unbelievable. But anything else is just like,
terrible. So, Nige, if you want to get back into your running, get around Centennial Park, come and join us. Go jump in the Strava group, and there'll be information that will feed in there throughout the week leading into next week for grand final. We'll have a run grand final day so you can get after it, so you fucking tick the box in the morning, then you go treat yourself, have a few tinnies and watch the grand final day.
We'll be at the grand final anyway, won't we?
Yep, we are, yep. Levelsnetwork.com.au. Make sure you've registered. We've got really good numbers in there. It's very, very soon. Lukey is telling me he's pumped. He's ready to go.
We're nearly ready to go, with the hoodies?
We're all but there. So you'll get first access to the merch.
Sign up for the email. Sign on the email, boys.
So make sure you register. That is coming very soon. And then you've got obviously got the hats. For those that are in there, they've seen we've got the different colorways as well for the hats that the email.
I like the blue. I like the brown.
As always, we want you to subscribe. I'll tell you what. Actually, before we even get the subscriptions, this is a part of it too. Yeah. So I reckon the detail around my supplements, I can definitely improve on with nutrition as well. I pump plenty of these.
We have the best sponsor.
We do. BSC. These are the ready-to-go protein shakes. I pumped a couple of these after I finish. These are currently available in Coles online at bodyscience.com.au and independent supplement retailers. This was really handy straight after. Plenty of hydration.
You didn't have a beer or anything after, did you?
Nah. I was supposed to go to the Ivy and
there was a big party. It was a party there, you were saying?
Yeah. If I'd gone, the plan would have been to go there straight after.
Yeah.
Once I'd gone home, in my mind, I was going to go home and have a shower. My hip was that sore. I just couldn't. It was just a pain in the ass. It's still a bit of a pain in the ass to walk. So I was like,
now you can come see my chiro, mate. Waleed.
Yep.
Come with me, mate.
Yeah.
Right. Go get some needles done. Go get some needles and all that kind of stuff. A bit of cupping.
As always, we want everyone to just keep pumping that subscriptions. We're at 17.8 right now, 21.5K on Insta, chasing 25K, trying to get to 20K by grand final day. And as always, subscribe on Apple and Spotify. Leave a review. Leave a comments. We've got plenty of YouTube ones. But Mace, you had a bit of a crack. The Tyson Gamble exchange still continues over the weekend. A whole heap of messages.
Yeah, I don't think people really get the whole, what happened. You know what I mean? Like we sat here and we're talking about the spine. You brought the spines up and then you asked me my opinion. I went, well, going off Newcastle's spine, right? Pong is best top three fullback in the world, easily. Yep. Gamble, Hastings, Phoenix Crossan, all had decent years, whatever. I said Gamble had a decent year, right?
Yeah.
Didn't bag him, didn't do anything like that. And then they go out on the weekend and then he goes like, so they ask him, he would have been full of himself. It's great. Win a semi-final, all that kind of stuff. It would have been great for him. Mm. Oh, what do you think about Willie Mason's comments? Oh, what does he know? He played in the forwards, blah, blah, blah. No, he can go and fuck himself. As soon as he said that, he makes it personal with me, right? Don't do that. He could have easily just said, he's entitled to his own opinion. We won the game, fucking blah, blah, blah. Who cares? Yeah, no one else said anything, but he's a little smarter, so he couldn't help himself. You know what I mean? So you have a crack at me. I'll wait because, hey, I know he's not that dude. He ain't that dude to go show up in the Warriors and carve the Warriors up. Mm. Have a look at that performance.
Across the board, a couple of things straight off the bat. So people hit me up and were telling me to – there was a couple of people telling me to support you and there was a couple of people saying you were out of line. First of all, we do this together.
Yeah.
But the reason I love doing this podcast with you is we don't always agree on everything.
Yeah.
I said straight off the bat when we were talking about the spine, I didn't agree that I had the more middle tier. I also it's an A and B. It's not like it's between you and Tyson. You and Tyson are having a crack at each other. So you had a crack at him when, inadvertently I'll say that too, right? Because you would –
Tyson's had a good year.
In a way, you were trying to talk up Caelan Ponga, but the way that when you take snippets out of the whole conversation and the way it comes across, I know you get a bit excited sometimes, so when you say it's the worst spine in the comp, you meant the worst spine still in the finals, I believe. And then you're trying to wrap Ponga, but sometimes in that it gets mixed up. Therefore, I think Gamble's comments got mixed up too, because I think it was a bit of tongue-in-cheek from him as well, coming back at you for sure. Yeah. And again, last week I said I liked it. I think that shows some dog in him that not a lot of people in the comp would have a crack. But I then can't get pissed off at you for going back at him again, because that's what I like. I love these sort of interactions. One, I liked when Tyson had a crack at you last week, back in rebuttal. I actually – it didn't bother me again that you had a crack. The only thing I would have changed – this is the only thing I would have changed from your responses. I thought you did it after the game. You actually did it at the 60-minute mark.
Yeah, I was 20 – yeah.
I would have – because, like, we had a perfect option. We do a podcast, right? This is why I said Tyson can't win, because no matter what, like, they weren't going to win the comp. And I knew you were just, like, stewing after those comments. So you're eventually going to go back at him. But we do a podcast every week regardless. Yeah. And he's not going to – they weren't – going to win the competition. So I knew it was coming at some point. I didn't think it was going to come at the 60-minute mark in the game.
It was only going to come at the 10th-minute mark.
Yeah.
Because when Fanua Blake was schooling him,
yeah,
a game plan for Ponga, they just put another number on there. They'll go man on man on the short side because they know he's not going to do anything. They'll go the other side. They'll put 7 on the long side because Ponga's there. Mm. They'll always do that. And they wrap Ponga up. Therefore, you close Newcastle down.
Yeah.
Because of the 7 and 6 offer nothing else other than catch and pass. And defensively, he's the one who let him down. He did.
Look, he had a bad miss for sure. Oh, no.
Yeah, but he had a couple of bad misses. His defense, he always tackles to the side. There's always a quick play of the ball. He doesn't finish tackles off. Therefore, they get in there. They go short sides. They make so many yards down wherever he's at.
Yep.
They always went at him all the time. He might have been involved in tackles, but he doesn't hit. He's a spot player. That's what he is.
Yeah, I agree. I don't think he's an out and out spot. You can definitely run some shape on him,
You don't sit in that little pocket. Therefore, what do you think? Fanua Blake just smoked him off his left foot. He didn't. He made Fanua Blake do that. He ran bang off his left because he sits in that little pocket because he's trying to hedge his bet so he can check on that and then go out the back. You don't do that. You got to be level with that guy inside you. Yeah. You got to be level with the right four. Lucky he's got Tyson Frizzell. Tyson Frizzell is one of the best defenders in the game. Saved his ass so many times.
Yeah.
And he fucked that whole right side up the first 20 minutes. They were going bang, 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 bang. 16-0.
Yeah. Look, they did run some good shape at him. The problem with that tackle on Adam Fanua Blake is that he just set his feet too early. But that's what he does.
Come up, win the line, Hoz. Be in the line and connect. You've got to go at him.
Yeah.
You've got to stop. You can't get Fanua Blake. Like, they've got mad footwork. 120, he's one of the hardest blokes to hit in the game.
In saying that, like you said, you've got Tyson Frizzell inside. You've got a player on the outside. So what he does.
Wade Egan, sorry. Connect. He comes out a lot and he got Frizzell to turn in a little bit. Bang.
It was nice shape.
Great shape.
That's my point with it, right?
Shut it down.
They had 47 missed tackles. So my big thing is with Tyson Gamble, I think he's much improved. Again, to the add to the narrative between you, like you two, because you can tell already, like he's proper pissed you off, and which is fine. And this is another thing in sort of your defense as well. When you think about Tyson Gamble, I think he's gone from a journeyman six to establish. We're going to get to Newcastle in a bit. But when you think of Tyson Gamble, his game in the last couple of years, what's Tyson Gamble's biggest strength?
Niggler.
It's niggling and getting under their skin and getting that. So he's even pulled that back a little bit this year. At the end of the day, when this comes back to it, you know, you have opinion on his defense and how he plays, but it's between you two. And you're having a bit of a crack against each other, and I just thought it was very entertaining, and I thought he might have said something, or he still might say something.
He can say whatever he wants.
All right, moving on. Let's get into some YouTube questions. So we've got this one is based off. We've got a couple to start off with that are from last week when I was talking about the crowds and whatnot. This one's from Dan Val. Game day experience can definitely be improved. We definitely do have the culture for it, just not in the NRL, and we need to develop it.
Mm.
Go to any Test cricket match at the SCG, MCG, Gabba, and there will be chants, banter, and Mexican waves and a rowdy atmosphere. Need to bring that to the NRL. Part of it is definitely because there are only a handful of tests a year, but I also think the NRL can do a lot more to encourage a better atmosphere. less strict security and cheaper costs. I don't know what less strict security means, but
people also, just running on the field.
Yeah. Also need, I think that's just loosened up with people having fun and not kicking people out for, you know, a bit of yard or having a few drinks and that. Also need better separation between family areas. Now alcohol areas and rowdy areas, et cetera.
Yeah.
That makes a lot of sense. Was at the Chooks versus Bunnies game and there was just so much Secchi presence trying to stop things getting slightly rowdy.
Oh, really?
So I guess that makes a lot of sense.
I suppose we don't know that.
Yeah, well, we don't really have that sort of game day experience where a lot of the time we're sitting in the general admission stuff because you might be doing stuff on game day with, as an ambassador for the Bulldogs, and you know we've done stuff as well with the tab. Again, I go back to it as well, the culture. Something as simple as, you know, being at the Warriors game and watching the Warriors game, because I'm going back to them now at the moment because they're just killing with their game day stuff. The Warriors fans singing the team song after the game. You don't know if you hear that. Like, while they're having interviews, they're singing the team song. So I don't know if...
What about the singing at the end of the game?
That's what I'm talking about. Yeah, they're singing the team song.
Is that their team song?
That's their team song, yeah.
Because so, I thought they were singing, I want to know. That's that song.
Well, they do sing some other songs, but they also sing the team song.
I didn't know that. Yeah, I didn't know that. So maybe
Warriors fans can let us know, do you... Lukey, do you know the answer for this as well? Have a look. If maybe the media team either let the fans know what the team song was so they could practice it, or they've just watched.
Do they put it on the big screen maybe?
Or maybe they've watched enough of the clips after the games.
They're just really invested in that club. They really invested in everything that they're doing. You know, like the 2 years, people don't, I mean, the fans don't forget what they did. And the NRL should not forget what the Warriors did for the fucking NRL, man. They saved the NRL. They were over here for two and a bit years, living in hotels and like not playing in front of their family and not playing in front of their own fans. Now they're there. I fucking love it.
Mm.
I want the Warriors to win the comp. It's going to be fucking hard, but God, it'll be good if they won the comp.
Yeah, we'll get to preview on the Warriors with the Broncos. It's going to be a very intriguing game.
Yeah.
But this is review. One last thing again on the crowds, and this is with regards to Penrith. This is from Chris D-Love. It isn't as good as America, but Penrith have the bells at the start of the entrance, which people look forward to, especially in big finals games. Then the stand-up flags up they've had for a few years, which a lot of fans love, especially the kids, which is really important. Got to improve that game day experience for the kids. The atmosphere at the last two Penrith games against Cows and Wires has been spoken about with a big boost in party-like atmosphere. Man. I did notice it in the Warriors game, for sure. Penrith have been so dominant now for a couple of years.
What are they talking about with the flags?
So stands up, flags up. Something must come across the announcer.
And they
must
wave their flags.
Yeah, get up get something. That's as simple
that's
as
little,
it is.
Man.
Yeah, imagine like you if you go there as a kid and you've been like, you know, anywhere between 12 to maybe 15 years old and you know that it's a stands up, flags up.
And
like,
bring your flag.
Bring your flag. Again, you pay for merchandise. Yes. It's just the visualization of it. There needs to be more of that. It does help. Both these teams are winning at the moment, so that really helps. But other teams should look at game day experiences like we talked about last week. So thank you for those questions.
It's just fucking acorn. That's the problem.
Mm.
You know what I mean? Looks mad when your seats 25,000, 30,000.
Yeah.
Don't look good when it seats 85, 90 and you've got 20 there.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Visually, it just doesn't work at acorn and it sucks. It works at Allianz. It works at CommBank.
Well, Matty Johns has talked about the missing an opportunity to thank the Warriors, and I've got something around a core a little bit later on. I think you might like.
Okay.
Hey, lads, this one's from Sleepy, 6978. Hey, lads, love the work and thought of an interesting question for people with more ball knowledge than me to answer. Sloan and Schuster are in similar positions in their careers with heaps of talent, but a few problems holding them back. For Sloan, it's brain fades and technique and defence. And for Schuster, it's fitness and work ethic. My question is, which player would you rather have on your team and who do you think will come good first?
It's a very good question. I like Sloan, to be honest, because I don't think he is fit as hell and he just has to work on little things that you can fix. And that's an attitude thing. Defensively, put your body in front, kid.
Yeah.
He's quick enough, he's fast enough, he's smart enough.
He's a game breaker in a tackle.
Yeah, he can do everything. He just needs to find that confidence. And I think he wasn't feeling confident when he got dropped. You know, you drop a young kid like that who's, you know, like some of these young kids are real sensitive. They don't go, fuck you, I'm going to go back to the gym, get bigger, get stronger, faster, get better. Might take a little bit for him to do that. Yep. Got back into the side this year, played some outstanding fucking football.
I think he mentally improved a lot.
Mentally, yeah. Yep. It's the mental lapses that he does. He goes in and out of games where he needs to, he's that dude, mate. If he strings 80 minutes together and plays how Sloan can play, he's a game breaker.
Yep.
He's a big boy, he's long, he's fast, he's fit. He just needs to get that confidence in talking more, become more of a leader. It's been his third year.
How hard is it to put on weight, do you think?
I don't think he needs to put on that much weight.
No.
Because I saw him when we played the Dogs. The Dogs played St. George down there, and I watched him before very closely in his warm-ups and that. I'm like, he's a big boy. He's probably got to put like maybe 3 or 4 kilo of muscle. He's all right.
Can you think of anyone that was sort of coming through the grades? I was trying to think of an example of a guy that was like slender like Sloaney, but also he ended up getting to a point where he put on a bit of weight. I thought of Josh Dugan. Remember when Dugs came through?
Slender.
But Dugs was always
strong.
Like.
Strong.
He's very strong. And he never really had a question mark with his defense. Did he? Did you remember?
No, he was good, dude. Maybe Kennedy, Will Kennedy.
Will Kennedy.
When he come through, he was very slender.
Still is.
Still pretty slender, but he's not going to get bigger. Sloan will get big. He's got big, broad shoulders. He's got a fucking great build.
He does have a good
build. Yeah, he's got a really good build. So he just needs his confidence, and the coach needs to really install the confidence in him. I think he's a confidence player, mate. You know, if you can just go, all right, you're our man, Sloan. You're the number one from here. Take control. Because he could just play. He plays footy, man.
Well, do you not? But so I think Flano's come out and said that it's not out and out his spot.
Yeah, see, I don't think that's good for his fucking mind.
I like the competition of it. So Zach Lomax, I think Zach Lomax is at least going to get a shot in the preseason, which I think that benefits the Dragons because
I don't think Sloan can play. I think he can play wing or fullback. Yeah. I don't think he plays centre.
Yeah.
Because he's a finisher.
And Ravalara and maybe Matt Fiangai could play. Yeah, centers,
they're not locks. I don't think both of them are locks.
Well, he's got to win that spot then.
Yeah, right? I think Zach Lomax is one of the. He's got a lot of talent, centre man.
Yeah,
I'd rather him at centre.
Yeah,
so, and that combination with Sloan, I think that and that's something that that's good. I'll take that. It's good in a way. Give him some competition. Say, all right, he's probably thinking Sloan. All right, I want you to play fullback, but you need competition. This ain't yours, so don't just sit on your laurels and just go out there and work your ass off all preseason.
And extra motivation for Lomax as well in the preseason.
Yeah, Lomax is like worst case scenario, Lomax just goes back to centre.
Yeah,
and then who are you thinking?
Yeah, Marlon Shuey. I love Sloaney. I've liked Sloaney. I like a lot of the reasons you said. I'm gonna go with Shuey because it's all there.
Yeah.
It's all there. It's just like you said, the attention to detail, which I was referring to with what I'm trying to do now when I'm going to start doing these marathons, is just nutrition and training. And you can tell it's harder to, I don't know, with some of the guys, if you're a coach, would you rather a guy that's less talented that that's going to work hard or try to get that talent and make sure and instill that work ethic in him. And I think you can do that with Shuey. I think he's just got to tweak a few things. I've always said I think he could be the perfect 14 in the modern game.
How old is he?
22, 23. Yeah,
he's a fucking baby.
So I'd like to see Shuey next year play a solid and this is like unless something catastrophic happens with injuries throughout the game
–
lock him in and say, Shuey, you're going to play a solid 40 to 50 minutes max, right?
Go
so what I'm going to do is I'm going to start someone. You have a toiler. You might have a Ben Trbojevic start on the left edge for him for Manly. You're going to come on 10 minutes before halftime, blow the game open, come on when everyone's fatigued, just empty the tank. You've got 10 minutes out there. Same thing after halftime. If we're rolling, you're doing a good enough job, there's talent around you, try it again, empty the tank for as long as you can go, 10, 20 minutes, and he needs to just get reps in minutes. But like when he's played back row in 5'8", I think he's played reserved because he knows he's going to play 80 minutes.
He's not confident in his fitness.
He's not there at the moment in his fitness. So what he needs to do is get the runs on the board, I believe, consistently with 40 to 50 minutes so then he can progress. And then in a couple of years, once he understands what it's like to be the week in, week out, first grader, play it, you can't have the fives to tens. It's more like I'm going to play a 7 and 8 every game for his level. I think that's when you progress and then he goes on to play big minutes.
I'd love to see him run the ball more.
Yeah, and that's
a
big part.
I want to see him. I mean, I get it. He's a great ball player, but fuck, he's solid as hell. He's quick. He's got good footwork, but he just barely runs.
Yeah, for sure.
I need to see him run the ball.
I think
I need to see him hit some holes. You know what I mean? I don't want him to, you know, create. He creates a lot, but I'm like, fuck, mate.
I don't think he's ever going to be a hole runner. What he can do is run with that shape. So use that shape that he likes to use, but to run.
Yes.
So you know how he gets that ball, because he's always a bit like Fletty was the same too. You're never going to get like Fletty's never really going to punch a hole, but Fletty used to set himself up
too, bro.
Fletty used to set up the defense with running that nice, beautiful shape, and then he'd set it up and it looked like it was going to be a play. Then he'd dummy, bang, late footwork, and it would be an offload or a little pre-line.
That's
where
he needs
else.
To fucking find a little bit of space and then that offload there. He's not going to be breaking the line all the time, but he can create space.
Yep.
And he's got that real silky skills where he can offload. That's why I want to see that second phase sort of stuff. But that only happens if you run the ball with some balls. Just fucking bang.
Get into it. And you just know you're a part of a game too.
Yeah.
Get into it.
Nice get into it. And everyone wants to see him run the ball.
All right, last one is from Solomon again, a big friend of the potty, loves the potty. Question, if you could play against any team from any era, which team would you have loved to play against? All the best in the marathon, Skip. Thank you, Solomon. Finish, brother, and thanks, boys.
Right. I would love to see 2006 Bulldogs versus the Penrith Panthers now.
I just think this year?
This year. Or this year or last year, whatever they got.
Oh,
even if you got, just say,
year do you reckon is the best Panthers?
Probably last year.
Probably last year with
Kicks and
Appy.
Yeah,
because
you got Kicks and Appy. So just say we have.
And they were experienced.
Just a forward pack. You got Roy Asatasi, you got Marco O'Mealy, Corey Hughes. Then you got. So you got Leota, Appy, and Fisher Harris, right?
Yep.
And then back row, kick out Martin. Yep. And you got Bobcat, myself, and the locks, Isaiah Yeo. And then you got Sonny Bill.
It's a good match.
It's a decent team. You know, we got Shifty, then we got Braith. And then Willie Tonga, Luke Patton, Matt Utai, Hazem El Masri.
Talal? Was it Willie Talal?
Benny Harris.
Benny Harris.
Benny Harris, just a really gun defender.
Yeah.
Then on the bench, you got Rennie Matua. We had a decent team.
Yeah.
So Would have been good. Even forward pack.
Yeah.
Because like it's just like because imagine Leota and Fisher Harris versus Roy and Ogre. just a basher.
Leota versus Ogre.
Yeah, that'd be would fucking it's like be brutal.
Leota's like the fucking
Leota's Samoan
version of fucking Ogre.
Yeah, yeah. They they play similar, just fucking love it.
Yeah.
And Raza, you know what I mean?
I reckon Fish is more Raza. Got a bit more footwork.
Raza had mad footwork, man.
Yeah.
Mad footwork.
That's why I think him and because Fisher Harris can run straight at you. But he can also, he's got a nice little jinx, he's got a nice little offload.
Same as Raza. Raza can bull rush you or he can beat you with a fucking right left.
Yeah, like that's why I think they're more
silky
comparable.
Footwork. Yep. Then, you know, you got Isaiah Yeo and you got Sonny and me and you got Bobcat and then you got Liam Martin. Liam Martin and Bobcat pretty similar.
Yeah. And you and Kicks would be pretty similar.
Me and Kicks, just would have been just real well-balanced side, both really well-balanced.
Rennie versus Spencer Lignew.
You know, and Ren played, yeah, exactly. Yeah. who was on the bench? Jesus. We had a fair few blokes. We were stacked that year. I always look at that and go, that's just similar.
Did Grimaldi not play 2006?
Yeah, Lobby was there.
So he would have been starting.
So Lobby would have been starting. Because we always figured it out. Like sometimes Sonny would play right centre.
Yeah.
And Lobby would be locked.
Yeah, okay.
Because Sonny was playing right centre because it'd be like pretty much.
And in 06 he was?
Yeah. And even like, because I'd be playing right side back row and in the middle, me and Sonny would be on that right edge.
Sonny versus Crichton.
Yeah, if you fucking because Sonny just could play anywhere. He just didn't know, he was so versatile.
Yeah.
I loved him at lock because he could get the ball whenever he wanted to on both sides of the ruck.
Yeah.
That's when he was more creative and he could hit. You know what I mean? When you're out in the centers, you can't pop blokes like he loved to. Like in the middle, he could just set himself up. His line speed was mad. And he was fucking one of the greats. Willie Tonga was unstoppable. Yeah. Hazem and Matty Utai versus versus Brian Toto.
Yeah,
exactly.
Yeah, that is a
fucking battle because he reminds me of Matty Utai.
Yeah, you're right.
Luke Patton, Dylan Edwards, they're similar players, man. Hazem El Masri versus Taruva.
It was Charlie Staines
versus Haz.
Taylor May
was the same.
He got injured. He got injured.
But then he came back for the grand final.
Nah, he got suspended, remember? And then Charlie Staines played in the final, remember? He puts Charlie Staines.
100%?
You were questioning his toughness, but he went good, remember?
Yeah, I know, but like he fucking...
So... El Masri and Charlie Staines are very, very jinky, stop starting.
Has,
There's a lot of similarities in that team. Would be
That would have been a good battle because fuck, even going against the mid 2000s Penrith team when they had Big Joe Nullivar, Tony Pulitua, Waterhouse, Joel Clinton, Martin Lang, Pyrrhus, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Fucking Richard Swain, fucking Luke Lewis, Luke Rooney, Craig Gower, Spudawira.
Speaking of like for like, I'm going to go my 2010 Parramatta Eels team versus my dad's Parramatta 1992. All right, so Dad played. He debuted for Parramatta in 1990. Had 14 appearances. They won 8 games. They lost 6. They 57%. And it was the end of an era too. That was the end of like
the 80s.
Peter Sterling, Brett Kenny. They were all just finishing 88. Up. Peter Wynn, all that like
Ray Price
last year. Yeah, just before they all sort of retired. And then I debuted in 2010, which is obviously the year after
20 years later.
20 years later. And same round, both round three. We've
What?
Yeah, we've got crazy similarities, me and my dad. We both played exactly 120 NRL games too.
Are you kidding me or what?
Exactly. That year, that was off the back of a big year and not an end of a run, but they were in the grand final the year before.
09, yeah.
We played 22 games that year. We won 9.
Your first year you played 22 games.
Yep. Fuck, so debuted and then played all the way through.
Great work.
So I just want to get one over the old man.
Do you reckon you would have got him? Do you reckon you would have got him? The old man was a hard motherfucker, man.
I think our team was younger, so we had like this is.
No, you reckon you would have got him?
So oh yeah, yeah.
Defensively, yeah. You reckon you would have folded you? Yeah, he's folded fucking hit her.
Yeah, yeah. But I would like I would have outran him or stepped him or jinked him or something. I wouldn't have ran straight at him. You'd have
stuck in the mud.
If you don't run straight at him,
no, you don't.
He's the opposite to me. He loved the tough stuff, and I liked it out on the edge. But yeah, that'd be funny to go back.
That'd be hilarious
because we, like I said, exactly 120 games.
That's amazing.
He played Test footy. And I never played Test footy.
How many tests he played?
But he played
A fair few.
Yeah, about 15 or 16.
Fucking great.
A couple of World Cups. But he never played finals. So I had the finals over him.
Imagine you got that GF.
He had the riff. I know, the fucking GF. Yeah.
I could say some words. I could say some names there, but don't worry about it.
Yeah, yeah.
It's 10 years ago.
So, that would have been my one to play against my old boy.
Yeah, it'd be mad.
That would have been a giggle. That'd be cool to go back and play against. All right, let's get into our body science dogs of the week. Mace, I'll kick us off.
Yeah, go on.
Chance Nickel Clogstad, for a number of reasons, not only just this game, but just he's one of the dogs of the year, just like a lot of the New Zealand Warriors players this year, much improved. One try, the first try in the first minute of the game. One try assist, 32 carries for 299 metres. Not 300, unfortunately. 103 post-contact metres.
Sorry, give him that metre, please.
No. You've got to earn it. He'll know that. 8 tackle breaks, 1 line break and 1 line break assist. And I just think about Chansey and those images when he was finishing up at Canberra. He's a player that it's very hard not to root for him.
That sucked. That the end of that Canberra run.
Yeah, that was the New South Wales Cup too.
Yeah, it was awful.
Yeah, he was very emotional. He was crying. You could tell it meant a lot to him. So he's a New Zealand Warriors junior. Moved to Canberra. They gave him a proper shot. He made the most of it. Just missed out on a grand final.
Dallium fucking fullback of the year.
Carved for a couple of years.
You talking about Tedesco and all these guys that were in that competition. And playing great football, and he got it.
And Roger was the Warriors at the time. What a return to form this year. He gets a little bit of praise, but I think not enough for just that nice, beautiful sweeping shape in particular they got on that right edge. That nice little it's tip dangerous. On that he's either got to Rocco Berry or Dallin Watanez-Lesniak on that nice shape. So shout out to Chansey.
I love stories like that, man, because I knew I was shattered for him last year. And for this year, and even they're going to have what's the name back? Fucking,
Roger.
Roger. They're going to have Roger back. And like he's going to, you know, they've already said that he's going to be fullback. So that says a lot. Mate, he well deserved. Mine goes to, same game, Tohu Harris. Mate, 80 minutes, 14 carries, 228 metres.
Mm.
61 post-contact metres, 3 tackle breaks and 39 tackles.
80 minutes is big.
80 minutes in the middle in a fucking semi-final.
And he just is in everything.
Yep. He made some crucial plays. He took a lot of pressure off Tamari Martin, man. A lot of pressure.
Mm.
Goes to the line, hits the front guys, hits out the back, made a line break in the second half, and they scored on the end of that set. Sort of really nailed the game. But just his presence out there, he really calms that whole forward pack down. Fanuel Blake does his own thing. Mitch Barnett was a dog.
Yep.
Everybody played good. Nia Core was running like an animal. Jackson Ford played really well. But Tohu Harris was a standout. SJ was outstanding. Outstanding. Everybody played great in that side. But, like, that's a big, big, big plays from him. proper, he's an animal, man.
Proper team performances.
Was, wasn't it? Wing. And it's big to stand out like that, have that many meters, that many tackles and that impact. You know, he just, he does a lot of little things that fucking, you know, he does a lot of cleanup work.
That don't even show up on the stat
line. Nah, they're not. Well, the little 1%ers that, you know, most players who know the game look at Tall Who Harrison, go, fuck, he's that dude.
Even a nice little tip on that creates just like a little one-on-one, one-on-one. That goes to a quick play the ball, yeah, and they're able to roll off the back of
that's
that.
That's all Sean Johnson needs.
Yeah.
That's all for Sean Johnson.
All right. At the end of last week, the NRL introduced a cooling off period for new contracts. So the NRL was set to introduce a new rule to give clubs a 10-day window to convince players to backflip when they sign contracts with rival clubs. The changes see this the salary cap and NRL contract laws were sent to clubs during the week, according to the Daily Telegraph, and will be introduced November 1st. How do you see this one playing out, Mace?
I don't really understand it that much. What is it? Like,
so there's going to be a 10-day window. So once you sign with a team, you have a 10-day window to not only change your mind and go back to your other club, or you can essentially pull out of the contract.
Right.
You think it's going to be, I think it's going to get messy.
Yeah.
I think it's...
What was it? There was never anything like this, was it?
No, like once you sign, I think you had... There was a... if you go back to the Chez one, remember the Chez? If you had signed before June 30, then you had all the way up until June 30 to change your mind.
Okay.
Because it wasn't officially lodged. I believe that's the case. Then they changed it because of what happened with Chez and Teddy. Teddy also did it with the Raiders, remember? Yeah. So
I don't know. Do you think it's... just trying to think.
It's good for the players.
It's good for the players. Yeah,
it's fucking mad.
But would you sign? Would you decide in 10 days? Is that enough?
Well, I think you
to really change your whole mind, or is this given? This just gives the club another time. Another like, all right, let's go back at him.
Yeah,
do you know what I mean? That's all it is. It's good for the. I think it's good for everyone. To be honest.
Yeah, it's going to get down to the managers and the players and the club getting frustrated. So they just go, all right, we're going to go here. For this amount of money, and then it's going to give the club that final last little push.
Yeah, you're just going to force it their hand. Just say like in Chez's instance, or someone who's just going to come off contract, and you're like, yeah, I've just signed a 5-year deal with the Gold Coast, right? Yeah. And then in 10 days, that club comes back, just say the Brisbane team come back and goes, oh, he's 1.5 or something like that.
Do you think public pressure will play into it as well? Like, so think of this, right? So just say the club's 50-50 and they, you know, might not want to pay, they think they're paying overs. And then they get a gauge for what the fan base thinks. They just say it's announced. Willie Mason signs with the Bulldogs. It's $800,000 a year.
Mm.
And then they just let that sit there and see what the fans think.
Yeah.
And then go.
Or it could be just say you lose Payne Haas.
Mm.
And then in that 10 days, you lose Flegler.
Yeah, yeah.
Do you know what I mean? So therefore you got that 10 days to go. Fucking come back. Here's 1 point, whatever. Here's another 200 grand because you lost that player.
Yeah,
That could happen as well.
Yep.
Or if you lose a halfback and then, oh, shit, fuck, we just lost our 5-8 or we lost the backup half.
Yeah.
Then you can – I think that gives a little bit of a – little bit more room for the clubs.
That could
I
make
think.
Sense.
That would make sense because I think that's possibly going to happen, right? You you lose a gun player but you think you've got a young kid that's going to come up and take his spot. That kid's gone as well.
Yep.
You're like, holy shit, let's get him back, give him more money, solved. Instead of losing both players in that one time, which I think it gives the clubs a little bit of a safety net.
I guess that would be the only benefit for a club. Otherwise,
clubs
are just going to have to be paying an extra 50 to 100k to keep the player. I reckon in the end,
yeah.
Matty Johns believes the NRL missed an opportunity. We were talking about this before to thank the Warriors, moving the game to 6 p.m. local time here in Australia to allow New Zealand to watch it at 8 p.m. Currently, it's 7:50 here in Australia, and it's on at 9:50, nearly 10 o'clock at night over in New Zealand. Mace, we'll just back it.
Well, we experienced that, didn't it? It was awful.
We watched the Cowboys and Sharks game.
Was it? Oh, Sharks.
Sharks game. And that game started at 10 p.m. We're in bed
sleep.
by 11 p.m. Yeah. Trying to hold on to watch the Thursday night game.
Yeah.
Up the Wires has swept the nation, arguably even over the All Blacks right now during a World Cup campaign, specifically before the All Blacks get into the finals. And then another thing on top of that, do you like the idea that Matty proposed that they should have done something?
I love it. I just think I missed the Sunday, like Arvo.
Yeah,
so Sunday Arvo. I mean, I think when we're younger, maybe it's us, and obviously it's because of ratings and it's all about ratings and views and all that sort of shit. So I get it. It's going to be Friday, Saturday night because it rates higher.
Yeah.
But just the Sunday Arvo at Allianz or Acor, if you play
Sunday.
On a Sunday Arvo at 4 o'clock, You know, then at 6 o'clock in New Zealand, everybody has fun, watches the game, fucking proper views. You know what I mean? I don't know. It's something like that they could do.
Do you think it could be true of the AFL Brisbane Lions being on earlier
that day? No, because, yeah, so Lukey just said, is it to do with the AFL? Nah, it would be because that's just the way it is. That's just the way the system is and they want to keep it. I don't think they would change it regardless, but if the, yeah, but even if they were to change that, so Lukey's saying because the Brisbane Lions are playing, who are they playing, Greater Western Sydney? Carlton. They're playing Carlton on the Saturday in the afternoon.
At 4:30.
And then everyone can flow from there, from the AFL fans can potentially watch both. You can do the double header, go watch the AFL final, and then you can go watch the Broncos play as well.
But this is all about New Zealand, right?
Yeah, yeah, a way of thanking New Zealand, and easily you could just do the game on Sunday when no games.
Yeah, I just think, yeah, maybe you can move it to Sunday and then just.
I really think the game should be played at Allianz.
And maybe people don't want to play on the Sunday because that one day of recovery is less, especially from that prelim. That one day means a hell of a lot to get to that grand final.
Yep.
You know, some players, I mean, ask Sean Johnson. That one day would have helped out a heap.
That's true.
So I just, I mean, they can move it.
Yeah.
You know, but I think it sucks because we were over there and we're sitting
That's a good point. You couldn't move the Sunday because if you play on the Friday night.
If you play on Friday, that other team's got 2 days ahead of you.
They would have had to swap the games around. So Brisbane would have to play the Warriors on Friday night and Penrith play the Storm on Saturday night.
They could have done that.
Maybe. There's not going to be a perfect answer to it. I think
there is a way you can move it.
Yeah.
Like what's – I just – another disrespect to New Zealand anyway.
Yeah, yeah, that was because that was over in New Zealand, Lukey. So they kicked off over there a little bit earlier so they didn't play at – so they could start the game at 6 o'clock and it not be so late over there. Lukey was talking about the game on the weekend, which was 4 p.m. here for the Warriors.
Even if it's 7 o'clock, right?
7
o'clock instead of 7:50, yeah. 8 o'clock, you know, like, or 6:30.
Then you start to mix around with the time slots that are with AFL other sports.
I don't know. They could work it out.
And I don't like the footy messing with my punting as well. I'm still watching the horses at Randwick.
It does not faze me at all because we're going to be up there. Hey, we're going to be up there.
Yep.
We're going to be watching. We're probably going to go to the prelim, the Brisbane Lions and Carlton game, and we're going to be up there thanks to the Tab.
Looking to get amongst it with our friends at the Tab for sure.
We'll be up there, so look out for us, Brisbane. We'll be walking the streets, a little bit of street talk. So it'd be fun, won't it?
Broncos up the wires.
It's going to be going off.
Going to get a lot of up
the wires. I wear a Brisbane Lions singlet.
All right, Roosters versus Storm. Storm just get by in this one, Mace. 18-13. A number of starters missing for both teams, and it really showed. Big news out of this game, Ashley Klein has been dropped after a poor refereeing performance. The Harry Grant drop followed by the apology to Teddy that following set when
he's fucking Harry standing Grant there. He's
set
there.
Up like Marion Seve.
Geez, that looks back.
How did he? It's
like
a bad
he's standing there like this. He's looking at it going, that's knocked back. He's like, ooh. Yeah, that went back. Yeah,
it's a bad one.
Come on, bro. You're better than that. You're supposed to be the number one ref in the game.
Well, see, I don't – look, and I've been critical of Ashley Klein. It's a hard job being a referee.
Not that bit. I get it with other – I can understand with some other calls. Yeah, it's a hard – yeah, blah, blah, blah. But he's right in front of you.
The obstruction rules, they've sort of cleaned up. I guess the hardest, the most frustrating rule for a fan or someone watching the game is what gets sent off with the high tackles, which we'll get to a little bit later on. But I've said this for a while now, and it's hard being a referee because you only really talk about them when they've made a mistake, right? You're never going to – if they have a good game
– they get front page if they make the mistake.
How many referees have you walked away from a game and they haven't made a mistake and you've gone – geez, that referee had a hell of a game. You never
say. We should be able to give him Dally M points.
Which referee was the best? It's a tough gig. But in saying that, I feel like for whatever reason, the pressure of being the top referee has got to Ashley Klein for a while now. I think he's made a number of really questionable decisions in games. And a part of that, again, I go back to it, is because he's consistently reffing big games too.
Yeah.
Right? Because he's the...
He's the man.
Respectfully to the fucking Bulldogs versus Tigers on a Sunday, just say if that's on a Sunday arvo, you might have some referee that no one's really heard of versus Ashley Klein, Roosters versus Rabbitohs on a Friday night.
I could ref the Bulldogs-Titans game.
You're going to get more eyes on that game compared to the Bulldogs-Tigers game, right? So With that comes more exposure, more scrutiny.
But that one, he's better than that.
Yeah.
He's better than that. He's supposed to be our top ref. It was right in front of him. Knock on, knock back, easy call.
Yeah, and it was crucial when it led to a try.
It led to a try, right? Like, fucking Roosters could have – they'd be my so question, disappointed.
My question is, has – so to apologise to Teddy, it's an admission of guilt. So has he – has someone told him in the bunker or has he seen the big screen? What do you reckon?
Both.
Both.
Yeah. He would have looked – I reckon he's looked at that and went, fuck, sorry, Teddy. I just cost you a grand. I just cost you a prelim. No, it's all good, mate. Don't worry about it. We haven't worked hard at all.
Teddy brought up a good point.
Far out, man.
He goes, you're better off calling that if it's 50-50 because they get the benefit of the doubt to challenge as well.
Yes.
We can't challenge
you
on
can't,
that.
Yeah, you can't. Should have stopped play. I don't know what you could have done. Mm. What could he have done?
Like what I just said. What'd you say? What Teddy said. Teddy said, if you call knock on, then they can challenge it. If Harry indeed does catch it.
Don't just let it play on and say, yeah, he caught it.
So you know what? A good comparison for it. So with the NFL, mate, you watch NFL, with pass interference, more often than not, you let it go all the way through. So if there's a mistake, right, in a team, if there's a fumble recovery or there's an intercept and there's some sort of penalty, let it play through all the way because then once they get there, you can review it anyway.
Yeah.
Same sort of thing, whether it's a captain's challenge and you know that they've got the captain's challenge, if you're 50-50, you're better off going knock on and then it being wrong, and then they get to challenge it, and Harry did indeed catch it, then that's sweet. Like, it can be easily fixed. But you can't challenge it if the play keeps on going for a blatant knock-on. So I think it's a good decision by the I don't ever want to see anyone lose their jobs.
It's ballsy. So he doesn't like – so you he won't get the grand final now?
No, he is out of the prelims. I don't know who his replacement is just yet. But he's out.
Who's the second best?
Adam G, I believe, ref'd the Warriors Knights game. He was okay. There's a little bit of a 50-50 on the forward pass to the back row, Lucas from Clune. People said that was 50-50. That looked sort of forward, but apart from that, he was pretty good.
Wouldn't have been that hard to ref that game, but and it was it didn't pretty matter. Dominant.
Yeah, it was so dominant.
But that game, Roosters game, fuck, that was costly.
Well, they went down that set and scored the next set. So,
What do you think about the Roosters?
Yeah, Roosters were just had so many troops on and they're just hanging on.
Fucking grit, eh?
Yeah,
they got they salvaged a year where everyone thought they weren't going to make the eight.
Yeah,
and that shows character and what they can build on now for next year. Sam Walker starting the year off and then getting dropped, going back to the lab, practicing on a couple of little things, come back a whole new player. You know, like
let's get to the season review after this, but we'll concentrate on Melbourne moving on this week. I thought that Tyron Wishout really held his own.
He went good.
But no Hughes is a big difference because Munster's had to play more on ball, and I don't think that suits Munster.
Look how many people if you see Garlick on one side and you see Wishart on one side, even though he did score that fucking great try.
Yep.
And you see Munster, you're going to put seven on that long side, even if they get to that numbers line.
Yep.
Same as in Newcastle, when you see Gamble and that, you're going to be man on man. You're going to put that other number on because Ponga and that's going long side.
Mm.
You know what I mean? So that's what happens with Munster. And then Munster gets about two or three blokes hunting from the inside so hard at him. What is he supposed to do? If he comes off his left, he's running straight into three blokes. He's got to pass the ball. Like Liero played pretty good. Our man, number four, went crazy. I thought he ran so fucking hard.
Oh, Jazzy Ollam?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Got fatigued a little bit by the end, but he did some fucking work.
Yeah.
Defensively was outstanding.
Those yardage carries were good.
Fucking solid. So I'm happy for him. He got his spot back. But it's hard for Munster to do that, mate. Everyone's going, oh, Munster's not playing that well. He's not carving up. Because he's not getting one-on-ones. He's not getting one-on-ones. He's just getting early ball or he's running. Sometimes if they, you know, especially late in the halves when they get a little bit lazy and he gets that quick play of the ball, boom, 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 gets to him and he can do whatever he wants. That's when he's dangerous.
Yep.
Not when it's a slow play of the ball and they go long. That's when you need Jerome Hughes going on that short side.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And then keeping them honest, putting that other number there, and then you can have a long shot.
They actually shift better to their right edge than they do the left.
Yeah, but you just couldn't do it because Jerome Hughes either runs or he hits Katoa. That got a good combination there with Seve and Warbrick. Yeah, like so he's people he's slept on, man. He's a top three halfback in the game.
Yeah, 100%.
Is he playing this week?
50. He spoke yesterday. I reckon 50-50. He'd be
calf.
Calf. Yeah.
How old is he?
He'd be close to 30, Hughesy. Be 28, 29? Yeah. A lot of soft tissue injuries, eh?
Fucking look how long this season is. How many minutes he plays?
We're going to talk about the Warriors next, and I think you're a believer that the Warriors can not necessarily be favourites playing the Broncos, but they're a chance.
They're a fucking big chance.
Are Melbourne a chance against Penrith?
No. I can never say no against Melbourne, but I just think
on the eye test this
they're going to be up for it, and it's going to be a fucking really tough game. But I think Penrith are relentless. They've been here four times in a row. They know how to get the job done.
That's true.
And they've got a full deck of cards. They've had a week off. Yep. They're going to fucking come out. Melbourne's a little bit busted.
Jerome's the only 50-50. And Nath looks like he dislocated his finger in training.
It's fine.
Yeah.
Fine. I'm not sure what Jerome – I think Jerome Lawyer should sit out this week again and just wait another week, because I think Cogger's – he ain't doing anything bad.
No,
he's not doing anything wrong. He's good defensively. He's letting the general, the prince, just run around and do whatever he wants. And I think he's more dominant, and they look fucking great with him doing that.
Yeah.
I'm not sure if you're going to do it against a defense like Melbourne, but
We'll see.
Like he looks like he's on. He is on.
One thing that frustrates me again that popped up, I don't like that Harry stayed down for the penalty too, because Sam Walker kicks the field goal, and I hate that side of it, but the inconsistencies, this is the rule that pisses me off. Again, Sam Walker, the week before, he hits Trindle high, and then nothing happened. It was a penalty, but – and this is a part of, I think, why Ashley Klein also is not refereeing this week. But Sam Walker clearly hits Harry Grant right around the chops. Every day of the week, round – 3-13 or any other week in the NRL, that's a penalty. And Ashley put the whistle away because
he wasn't knocked out.
Well, because
you know what I mean? It wasn't
a penalty goal was going to win the game, Mace.
Mm.
With 2 minutes to go, and he didn't want that to be the decision. And you can't do if that's the way you referee it all year.
Yes, I understand.
Even though I don't like players staying down like Harry did, you've got to be consistent. If he gets him around the chops and the bunker and Ashley, I don't know who's – generally it's the bunker that steps in that as well. Mm. So not necessarily Ashley Klein's fault, unless he was told and refused to do it. That was a penalty. And just because it's Sam Walker in the force isn't as strong as Victor Radley.
Or just say Nas hit you.
Would I always compare it to their own team.
No. Yeah.
If Radley does that, Radley gets 10 in the bin. And then there's no penalty for it. It just frustrates me how smaller, less physical players, outside backs, specifically halves, don't get penalised the same as what forwards do. It'd be super frustrating.
And I know, it's super frustrating. But, I mean, like, why do you think that happens? Is it because it doesn't look as bad to the game?
It's the result.
It's the perception, right?
It's the perception, the result.
I think they're worried about people at home, right? They're watching and going, fuck, that looked awful when Nas or Victor hit someone or some player, you know what I mean? But, oh, it looks all right with Sam Walker. That's a great hit. Or Adam Reynolds or Keary or anyone like that who's slightly built.
Yep.
You're still hitting someone in the head.
Well, I think there's a preconceived idea from referees before they go into the game that those players are loose as well.
Do you have to get someone knocked out in a broken jaw?
Yeah, pretty much.
You do.
For a half or an outside back to be the other example is the – Joseph Swali'i hit on Chance Nickel-Klokstad at the start of the year. That was worse than someone did it a little bit later on. Was it a hit on Adam Reynolds in a game, maybe the week after? That was frustrating as well, but I'm sure we'll get it in the comments. All right, mate, moving on to the Roosters season review. Pass or fail for the Chooks?
They were heading towards a fail 8 weeks ago, but what they've done in the last 6 weeks, the run that they had to go on, and they got to the second round of the playoffs.
Yep.
That's massive, and they probably should be in a prelim. You know what I mean?
Mm.
They they did it without what? Fucking JW, he's their man in on the inside there. Joey Manu, Tupou,
Suwali'i.
Mm. How hard is it to come out of yardage, right? And they still
did it.
And they did it. Mm. They were coming out of yardage with the best of them, because they were running hard and they found that extra gear.
Yeah.
They really did. Sam Walker come into his own. Keary started coming into his own. You know, they started playing some really good football.
Yeah.
Lindsay Collins had a great game on the weekend. He was about it.
Lindsay Collins would be close to the
player. Tyrrell May.
Yeah.
Outstanding. Massive minutes, quality minutes, big fucking meters, Ransard, he's a future player. He might be a rep player one day.
Yeah, I agree.
Yeah,
I agree.
He's got all the fucking all the fundamentals.
He'll probably play for Samoa in the
He should be
in the off season.
I didn't know he was that fit because you can leave him out there for 30 plus.
Mate, he wasn't like he didn't put it out on the field consistently. But I'd say his last 6 or 7 weeks has been outside of Lindsay Collins. He's been their second best forward.
Yep, I agree. Victor Radley's Victor Radley all the time.
Victor
right?
Radley's Victor Radley.
Sia Wong, great work.
We'll see a Wong.
Egan
too.
Butcher, other Nat Butcher. They got something there. Spencer they got Lenu. Something. Spencer, Don I'm Young. Sure J Dub's going to come again. Toops is getting there, but like you got
they both resigned. So Toops and Jared are there.
Probably another year just to get these young kids coming through. Probably their time. It'll probably come back a little bit.
Yep.
But all you right. still need J Dub.
Give me don't it.
It's a pass.
I think, yeah, I'm with
it's
you on a pass.
Mate. It's
I'm
a pass. It's a heavy
sure.
pass.
I think the improvement that Cheese showed in the last
resilience
3 or 4 weeks.
Too. Resilience, mate. They good showed coaching, resilience, good leadership. Great coaching, and faith in the culture.
Here's one. Back 5 for next year for the Chooks.
Teddy, Sualii. Oh, no, not Sualii.
Yeah, he's still there.
He's got one more year.
He's got one more year.
Fuck, what are you going to do with Dom Young?
That's my question.
Sualii in the centres. Right side centre.
Joe Manu, right side centre.
Ah! Sualii, left centre.
Billy Smith.
Ah!
I think Billy
he's going to miss out.
I think Billy Smith's earned the right to.
100%. I love Billy Smith. And what he did this year, he deserves it.
So, Teddy, can we both agree Teddy's lock?
Teddy.
Joe Manu's a lock.
Bro.
I think Billy Smith's earned the right to first crack at that left. With there's so much competition in the back three, I think Billy's going to be under pressure, but I think he's earned the right to keep that left centre spot.
Dom Young ain't a centre.
I reckon Dom Young's a lock on the right. They've just signed him for 2 or 3 years and he's the future. He's only young. It's going to be Toops for Sualii for the left wing spot.
Bro, they're not doing with – they ain't going to do Toops like that, man.
That's what I think so.
That's
too.
Ridiculous.
I think Sualii might be on the bench player. He might be 14.
Sualii on the bench?
Yeah.
Someone's got to be.
Or if – You could probably afford to carry Sualii on the bench because he can cover more positions than what Tupou. Because if Tupou doesn't play on the wing, then he ain't in the team.
I don't think they thought Billy Smith was going to have this corner year.
No.
And I reckon they would have think
they've had high hopes in him.
I think they would have
best ability is availability, right? He just hasn't been available.
Wow. Okay.
Yeah.
They got a team. They got a team next year.
They got a team. So if they can get. You know, I said they needed to recycle. Maybe they already have done that. Dom Young, Spencer Lenu coming over. And they've been blessed now with the improvement of Cheese later in the year. Sam Walker and Kiri have figured it out together. Yeah, it's been scrappy, but it was nowhere near as scrappy as the start of the year. And I think you go, like, they could pretend their pack could be Lindsay Collins a lock. Maybe you have Jared on there just to get the
– Start it. He's got to start games.
Just say
he's got to
you got that
games.
Veteran presence. And then you're bringing Terrell May and Spencer Lino off the bench.
Sia Wong will start with a
Sia Wong.
Is Crichton gone?
I think Angus Crichton could be leaving. I think they've got to make some money. They've got to make some room somewhere. And there's been chat about him moving on and potentially going to rugby union as well. I think he could be a casualty because
he's done everything in the game, and I think he just probably wants to give union a crack.
And they love the Butcher brothers, and they love Sia Wong. So I don't think they're going to be able to fit in Tupanua.
I mean, Crichton could stay if he wants. I think he could stay if he wants.
Yeah.
But I think it's Crichton's decision if he wants to go.
Yeah.
Because he's won a competition there, right? He's won a World Cup. He's won Origins. What else can you do? And he could easily – he's going to play for the Wallabies.
Yeah.
Like he'll play for the –
He'll walk straight in the Wallabies.
He'll walk straight back in. Yeah. They just got beat by Fiji.
Yeah. Shout out to Fiji as well.
Fiji's a fucking – they are the fucking
They're
truth.
Improving. Yeah.
The he's sponsored by Nike too. Look at those Nike jerseys.
How
look.
Good. How good.
I'm going to have Semi ride Roger for one.
Yeah. Hit up Semi when he's back. All right, last game, the Warriors versus Knights. Why do I not have the scoreline here? Because it was 40-10.
40-10.
Completely different team with Shawnee and back at home, Mace. Yeah,
totally different. Compared to what we saw against Penrith, I think we're right when we said, you know, did Sean Johnson make a calculated, you know, hey, I could. What's the point in playing? If I'm going to be 50%, I could re-injure myself and the season's done. Or I could have a week off, I go back to Mount Smart or whatever the fuck it's called,
yep.
And come back at least about 80%.
Go media.
And then boom, get into the prelim and then we go from there.
I want to clarify, and I think you're the same. If Sean Johnson was 100%, he plays in that game against the Penrith Panthers.
Yeah, but I just think he was 60.
But if he was even 90, with a chance of re-aggravating it playing Penrith, then I think it didn't make sense for him to not play. I think it made sense for him not to play that game and be ready for this game. And then because they had a second.
Yeah, I just don't think they would have beat Penrith anyway. You know, in that at home, at Penrith Stadium, there's a chance of beating them in a grand final, in a preliminary.
Yeah, okay.
There's a chance there.
Okay.
But other than that, not in that one there.
Yeah.
And they wouldn't risk it. And now he looks like a genius. They come back there and they just fucking smoke Newcastle.
I'll tell you, never a genius is Webby. They're fully committed. Like you can tell, you can see that they had a proper game plan to kick Demarzu early and often.
Mm.
And they just were so committed to it. So they takes away. You get Dom Young travelling all the way for play two, but Dom Young, as good as he is a try scorer, and he's really good in yardage as well, he doesn't skittle and put your line under the stress as much as Marzu does. So what you can do with Dom Young, if you kick to a corner to Marzu, you stop his play one carry by taking a little bit off it, forcing an error as well, because Dom Young, it's harder to jump over Dom Young because he's taller. And then also with Dom Young coming in for that play to carry in finals footy when everyone's amped up, Dom Young's naturally taller, so you can get underneath him.
A lot.
You can pick him up. And
a lot of real estate to hit.
There's more opportunity to hit. You can't really hit Marzu.
Mm.
So a really good game plan from the Warriors.
It was perfect. And they stuck to it for 80 minutes.
Mm.
80 minutes. They were relentless. They just, yeah, I think Wade Egan played outstanding.
He's near
the line. That try where the ball was just behind Rocco Berry, just before, like, it was about 25 minutes in, that could have been another try, would have been 22-0.
Yeah.
That would have been definitely game over. But that's him coming out, like, engaging the markers and having those lead runners double lead on those posts, bang, bang, and then goes out the back. He hits the front guy. He hits
Dylan Walker try?
Yeah.
The shape on the post.
Mate, yeah. Because
more teams should do that, eh?
I told you.
We talked about
that's one of the hardest. It's one of the hardest things to defend because you've got to have a look at the foreman.
Yeah.
Have a look what Tyson Frizzell was doing. Yeah. He was worried about the guy at the back because he's already going out. He goes, it's too late because he's just run that straight line. Well. You've got the post there. There's a lot of joy around there. And you've got Gamble outside him. They're all waiting for that fucking real long shift, that fan sort of shape there. But if you've got fucking really – if you've got smart middles, and Dylan Walker's a smart player.
Yeah.
You know, he's got a 5'8 brain. He's quick. He's fast. And like as I said, like last week where he had to start.
Yeah.
Different mentality.
And he's
different
seven.
Mentality. Yeah. Comes off, he knows he's going to play 40, 50 minutes and it's balls out. Yeah. Just fucking straight away. Everything's high energy. He lifts everybody up. You know what I mean? So it was like, and even Jazz Tavanga, he was outstanding as well.
Them two together work well, so good together.
And they're just little guys who find their front all the time and get those quick play the balls all the time. Fanua Blake comes off, Barnett has a bit of a rest. They hold the fort easy.
Yep.
They don't lose much. And then they come on in the last sort of 25 minutes and finish it off.
They didn't have the skill. I remember in 2013, two players that were really underrated for our years were Joey Nullivale, tore his Achilles at the back end of the year. We had Joey Nullivale and Richie Farso coming off the bench.
Yeah, Richie Farso
did his neck in the prelim final against Rabbitohs, and we lost Joey Nullivale probably about 3 weeks out from the end of the season. Those two were just impossible to stop. Come off the bench.
Leg speed.
Like Jazz Tavanga and like Dylan Walker.
But bigger.
Leg speed.
Bigger.
Yeah, but thicker.
Yeah.
But didn't have the – you know, Joey had some nice soft hands.
No, nowhere near those
but
two.
But nowhere near Dylan Walker, but they really created momentum for us off the bench.
Yeah.
And that's what the Warriors can definitely bring with those two. Another sign of how much the Warriors improved this year, when it got to 16-10, I went, ooh.
Could be a game.
I went, fuck, the Knights could get him here because –
and they scored first after half time. That would have been the main thing for Newcastle.
That would have been in years past, leading the game 16-0, and then having them come back to 16-10. A few people would started looking at each other, going, "Are we going to cave here?"
Yeah, different
and
team.
And they found a way to kick on. So I thought that was just another great sign of how much they've improved under Webby.
They stuck to the game plan. Went through their sets. Because they got to that, they didn't get any field position. That's why Newcastle started getting back into the game. As soon as they got good field position, got down there, they scored all the time.
Yeah.
It was just played in the middle of the field and they end up getting Cade Kitchens all the time. Like Gamble was just kicking in the corner, coming out. They were just playing. They just arm wrestled until Newcastle broke.
They don't fade anymore, do they?
No. They just aren't. And they're fit.
Yeah.
They are fit as hell. So it's like, they're going to be hard to beat, man.
Yeah.
Brisbane's got their handful.
Yep. Suncorp, I reckon, will suit them as well. I think that they'll enjoy that pitch. And even though they've had good
there'll
support.
There'll be some fucking big Warriors supporters.
There'll
there.
Be heaps.
New Zealand's everywhere.
Yeah, I think there'll be heaps at Suncorp.
If you don't go for the Broncos, you're going for the Warriors.
Yep. 100%.
You know what I mean?
I think Warriors are everyone's second favourite team. I think even the Knights were wishing the Warriors well after the game, Shawnee said in the post-match. So what about the Knights, mate? Season in review, pass or fail?
That's a pass.
Yeah.
You know, like they, Adam O'Brien's head was on the chopping board. They're trying to get rid of him.
Yep.
Then they played us and beat a 66-0 and they went on a fucking run.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? It just changed their whole game. It changed their whole year. So
I think he's been extended too.
He has been extended and he deserves it. He's a good coach. Would have been good from, you know, I mean, I think they just ran into a red hot fucking Warriors side, man. They looked hard. They were hard to beat. They were up for that game. I played a semi-final over there. It's so hard to win regardless. Yeah. When they're up for it and it's a Saturday night game.
Did they beat you over there?
Yeah, they pumped us.
Yeah. Fuck.
Man, I played in a couple there. It's like when we won 17 games in a row, remember that U-turn too?
Yeah.
They beat us.
Yeah, that's right.
Fucking
that's right.
We had a team, mate. They, you know, they just had one of those –
They had a good team.
They had a pretty good team, yeah.
Was that a preliminary final?
Or was just a normal game, actually. It was around 23.
Yeah.
Then in 2008, remember Ruben Wiki ran at Soliola? That was a semi-final. They had a blackout night.
Oh, fuck.
Yeah, that was brutal.
Yeah.
And then, so it's very hard. Newcastle just sort of got ambushed at the start.
Yeah.
They just did. You know what I mean? Like just bang, 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 16-0. What do? Then you took the crowds on you nonstop. They start singing everything you do. Like as a, you want to crawl into a big fucking hole. That's what it is. You know what I mean? So, and that's the thing. When they started game, when they took care of Ponga everywhere he was. I don't even think he made a line break. He's been making line breaks all year. He didn't make one line break, and that's a win for New Zealand.
100%. I think he had about 100 meters. He put on the. They got the shape right for the Marzu try.
Yeah.
And then was Clune set up the Dylan Lucas? Yeah, so to KP standards as well, he was relatively quiet because
– But they made him quiet.
Took him out of the game.
They took him out of the game. They kicked to Marzu, you know what I mean? Like they took care of Dom Young. You know, KP's not one of those dudes who take play two and play three.
That's not
his – Gags is in there. They took Bradman Best out of the game. I think Bradman Best has been one of the best centers in the game this year. They took him out. He didn't really get that much ball.
Yep.
Gags didn't. Their back rollers didn't. They just got overwhelmed and outplayed, out-enthused.
What about are you excited? There's a couple of young Poms arriving next year. So Will Price.
I think he's Leon's kid, isn't he?
Yeah. The dynamic of where I think he might – I think originally I'm very intrigued to see what the spine ends up next year because when they made these signings, even going back to Cogger probably 4 or 5 weeks ago where Tyson Gamble and Jackson Hastings was always going to be safe, Ponga was going to be safe. I think there's always a bit of a question mark around Gamble regardless, but I think now he's earned that spot to go the 7, 6, 9. Even the Crossland and Brayley conversation is going to be
– Mate, Brayley's a gun.
Yeah, but Crossland's been a much improved player as well. So –
I think Gamble and Crossland will be going for 14.
Kalen will be fullback. You've got Hastings as a lock.
I don't think Hastings is a lock.
He's a lock.
You reckon?
Yeah. Because Clune's gone over to the Super League. So you've got Cogger and Gamble.
Okay.
Cogger and Gamble fighting for the sixth position. You got Phoenix, Crossland.
Sorry, is Cogger a six or a seven? Is he both?
Cogger, he'll be...
Is he a genuine six or is he a half or...
He's either.
Okay.
But you're just going to lock Hastings into that seven. Then you've got Crossland and Brayley because Brayley's their captain, right? But Crossland has been outstanding this year in filling in and he's developed into a better nine than he ever was a half in my opinion.
What do you do?
And then you've got Will Price who would have been brought in at the start of the year to come in, I believe, play six.
Yeah, six.
But the dynamic of the team's completely changed now. So you might even have Will Price fighting for that sixth spot. And I really like the back row that they've got Kai Pierce-Paul.
I know they finished a year off good, but I mean like they ended – They can't get over that hump. Maybe Price is that guy that can take him.
Yeah, but if that's going to be competition.
Isn't he young?
Yeah, but yeah, exactly right. He's not proven as well.
Yeah, he's not.
It'd be different if they're bringing in Jerome Luai.
Yeah.
Or they're bringing in fucking.
Yeah, you're bringing in a kid who's never played NRL.
Yeah, exactly right. So it doesn't mean just because they didn't finish off the season and get the wins, there's no one proven that's coming in.
Just stick to what they got now.
Yeah.
Until they need to make changes, just competition.
Yeah, competition. Iron sharpens iron. That's what we always say, right?
But that'll be good for him.
And I really like that Kai Pierce-Paul that's coming in next year on the back row as well. He's a young back row who played for England in the World Cup. He's from Wigan. He's a gun.
Hey, dog.
So he's the reason they, he's the dog. He's the reason they let Lachlan Fitzgibbon go.
Righto.
Yeah. So good next exciting year. Times for the Knights.
Still got the Saifi brothers. Still got Frizzell. Frizz was outstanding on the weekend. Even
Leo Thompson.
Leo Thompson's a dog. We got Kurt Mann. We signed Kurt
Mann. Yeah, Kurt Mann.
I think he's a good player.
Yep.
But they're gonna have a lot of plays up there. They'll be all right. They should be a top 8 team.
All right. Well, we'll look forward to the preview. More to break down the teams. We'll do edges again coming up. Edge versus edge for the preliminary finals. Thanks for joining us on review. See ya for preview.
Thank you.